This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat, it's time to dive into something truly special. So many words. They are like crippled ghosts. They strike like bullets, find close by, but always miss the essence of my life. They come in rows. Through these deceitful words, I walk and shamble. There is a fight. I'm on the battlefield, where all my soldiers are the words I wield, and treason sown by memories that scramble. Don't end up fooled when in the good you trust, and don't get lost in your affliction's mire. As one remembers things, one grows more tired. The day I tire, I will die, and thus hide in the hues of night unseen by most, where they don't know happiness or wrath, where they don't live but chew their own death. So many words, they are like crippled ghosts. Welcome to Borscht Club. Today we begin with poetry, and not just any poetry, a powerful, haunting piece by Vasil Stus, one of the Ukraine's most brilliant voices. These are the words of a man imprisoned, yet never broken. Stus was a poet, a translator, a literary critic, and above all, a Ukrainian who refused to betray his language or his people. He died in Soviet prison in Siberia in 1985. Today I greet you with his verses because this episode is about books, voices and resilience. And we are honored to welcome someone special. Natalia Poshevailo-Tauler, now living in Australia and the incredible organizer of the first Ukrainian-Australian Book Fest. We could spend an entire program just talking about her accomplishments, but instead I will let her speak for herself. Natalia, welcome to Borscht Club. The microphone is yours.
I grew up in Poltava in central Ukraine. It's been a while since I left Ukraine. I actually been abroad for over 25 years, living in New Zealand and Australia. So we moved to Australia in 2011 with my husband's job. He was relocated with his previous employer. Before that, for about 15 years, we lived in New Zealand.
You have been an active figure in the Ukrainian community in Australia. What brought you into community leadership and cultural advocacy?
It's interesting questions. What brought you into community leadership and cultural advocacy? As it falls naturally and organically into places. Once you find the right-minded people around you, you're actively seeking the community connections to make new friendships in a new country and build your own relationships like from place to place, and it's often in different like immigrants are moving from job to job and also migrating within country, like moving from Wellington to Auckland or from Auckland to other places. So it's naturally build your new network, and as for example English language your second or third language, you build your connections with people who speak your first language, mother tongue, and it starts new connections and build a network. And if there is no organization or strong organization exists in place, then the key people gaze around new followers and decide to do more than just informal celebrations and just talking and helping each other with jobs, for example, or some family matters. They decide to go into the more advocacy related matters and demonstrating their cultural heritage. So that's what brought me into the leadership position, a culture leadership position in New Zealand. I've joined in 2004. I met like-minded people in Auckland, and then we've created Ukrainian Association of New Zealand Northern Regions. I was a board member for a while, and then in 2010 and 11, I was chairwoman of the Ukrainian Association of New Zealand Northern Regions, basically before my departure to Australia. Once we moved as a family to Australia, I basically fall into the community work straight away, because we already met people from different Ukrainian Australian organizations while working as the Ukrainian Association of New Zealand Northern Regions. We had visits from Vice President, First Vice President of the Ukrainian World Congress, Stefan Romaniv, who was also a chair of the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organizations, and at some point he chaired different other organizations like Ukrainian Community of Victoria. So he, through his network, we've been introduced to the Ukrainian Youth Association and held a camp, a youth camp in Auckland, not far from Auckland in 2010. So it was a great atmosphere. So once my family moved to Australia in January 2013, basically the next day I was part of the Australia Day Parade. My family, we marched together with other Ukrainians in Melbourne, and it was fantastic atmosphere of community uniting with like-minded people from different nations. So it was a real sense of celebration at that time. So I fell into the work. I can't say it's not correct. I didn't. I was invited to work at the Ukrainian Community School in Noble Park because I already had experience organizing Ukrainian school in Auckland. There were 11 students from 2009-2011 and three teachers. So it was a natural role for me to join the Ukrainian school at Melbourne, and my daughter continued to study there in a Saturday school. So I guess my calling was manifesting itself. Ukrainian community work was manifesting itself through connections with new people, new friends, learning about their goals and the structure of organizations that actually brought lots of respect in my heart, because ongoing work, this is what matters, because it's a day-to-day, year-to-year, there is ongoing work that's been done for over 75 years in Australia. By, for example, Ukrainian Women's Association, Youth Association, and other organizations. So that's really exciting and makes me proud to be part of this big community. And this year, I'm chairing a rock committee of the first Ukrainian-Australian Literary Festival.
Could you tell me what inspired the idea behind the first Ukrainian-Australian Book Festival?
This is an initiative by the Ukrainian Women's Association of Victoria, that I am currently chairwoman of the Ukrainian Women's Association of Victoria. Also, I'm a board member of the Federation of Ukrainian Women's Organizations around the world. So it's natural for me to be part of the leadership, and actually I'm very happy and excited about this literary festival that we're going ahead with. So on the 3rd of August 2025 in Melbourne is going to be the first Ukrainian-Australian literary festival. This festival is bringing together authors, poets, journalists from around Australia and via online from New Zealand. Also, we have a guest speaker, keynote speaker from Ukraine. This is Olga Erasimyuk. She is currently chairing Ukrainian Broadcasting Committee and also representing Ukraine at the UNESCO. Olga Erasimyuk has vast experience as a journalist, as a writer, as a TV personality. So she'll be a keynote speaker at the first Ukrainian-Australian literary festival and lead one of the panels and also has community visits to talk to the community and meet the Cardinal Mykola Bojchuk and visit to the officials in Australian Broadcasting Authority and other meetings in Melbourne and Australia. So this is the amazing event. It's a little bit scary to have this event, but it is an important part of the cultural diplomacy to introduce Australians and Ukrainian Australians to the contemporary state of literature in Australia, and not only Australia and New Zealand, and also learn about a change in the written word and power of written word in the wartime. This is extremely important. This is a self-funded event. We didn't receive any grants for this event, so there's a small fee for we're charging for tickets, and children under 15 years old are free. So what we're planning to achieve, to have an exposure, to meet new people, to bring together these writers who are writing about current Ukraine and also bridge the history between diaspora writers and writers who recently migrated from Ukraine due to the war. So there are writers from Sydney, like Petro Schmigel, or Pete Schmigel from Sydney with his book The Drone, and also there are a big group of Ukrainian children's writers, and it's mostly people who haven't been in Australia for long, and they write in books in Ukrainian and Australian, including books about even how to learn Ukrainian and about their life, children's life in Australia. So we have like five authors, children's authors at that section. Also, we're going to have culinary section or gastronomic section, where the books collection of books from diaspora and current contemporary Ukrainian cookbooks displayed. If you visit any bookstore now, you can see there are different recipe books from Ukraine. At the moment is very popular Olya Hercules. So her book's gonna be there, and also recipes, very authentic recipes provided by the members of our organizations, and for example, Ukrainian Women's Association branch in will display their own recipes as well, including tasting platters. So it's gonna be very exciting introduction to the like cultural heritage via food.
How important is it for you to build these cross-cultural literary bridges?
Building cross-cultural bridges, I don't think those gaps are very big, but we all need to understand the importance of united work, and it includes like books in contemporary bookstores about Ukraine, because I don't think Ukrainians realize how many books are there about war in Ukraine or about their experiences during the war or before, there is a genuine interest in Australia and New Zealand and actually around the world but in Ukraine. So I think, first of all, it's an instrument for Ukrainians to learn about themselves through their being exposed to the what's available in the market, in the literary market, in the written word or podcast word or any journalist work about Ukraine. But it's a high caliber writing. It's curated display of books or of biographies of authors' talks. That's important. And another way, return way or into the bridge, I don't know how to say it correctly, so and introduce Australian and New Zealand public to the available rich Ukrainian literary culture that perhaps they missed, the written word, what's available there and been available for generations. Actually, Australia had amazing display of Ukrainian writers who wrote about their life since arriving to Australia, for example, in 1949 in the displaced people camps. Also, they wrote their family biographies, what they've been through, and also the contemporary life in Australian jungle and Papua New Guinea even. For example, Dmytro Nichenko, known as Dmytro Chub, he wrote about life in Australia for children and for adults, and he's been well recognized not only in Australia by having his books through all state libraries in Australia in English and Ukrainian. There is also a literary award exists in Ukraine imeni named by Dmytro Chub, Dmytro Nichenko, for Ukrainian writers. Also, there are other writers, there have been publishing houses, Australian Ukrainian publishing houses that currently exist and existed for generations will have display of two publishing houses like Sova Books from Sydney and Baida Books from Melbourne. So this is an important cross-cultural bridge, but met at the midpoint by Ukrainians and by Australian public as well. And also, I hope to reach New Zealand audience by including New Zealand authors into online events that will follow after our physical in place one day Ukrainian-Australian Literary Festival.
What challenges do you face organizing events like this?
There are lots of challenges because basically a small group of people who decided or volunteered a massive amount of time to organize this event, this high caliber event, plan it, invite lots of people. So the challenge is to have the courage to start something from scratch, having a vision. And also as a leader of such an event, to be on top of the game and motivate enough, finding the best points in people and persevering with the goal and a big vision. It was easy in a way because we immediately had a good feedback from authors who actually came on board completing the application forms, and it wasn't difficult to find authors. This event demonstrated it was long time overdue. Just having the courage to organize it and going through all the motions of booking a place for the event and communicating with local media, with very important guests and persons from different committees and local to state government, probably it brings some challenges because either people don't reply to your emails. It's all in communication, and the number of attempts we make to reach our goal. So at the moment, I can say it's all going very well. We're having 13 horses on board, including those who registered for online event. We have set in place with our program, with keynote speaker, with teams working on the event, and going ahead with ticket sales. So it's going to be amazing cultural event, cultural demonstration, not only Ukrainian dance music, that's what's actually common in the past, but it demonstrates different dimension of Ukrainian culture as a written word.
If you could dream big, what project would you launch for the Ukrainian community in Australia and New Zealand?
If I dream big, I can see this event happening perhaps not annually, but definitely biannually. So it keeps going. This is the first goal at the organizing such a big event. And then from our experience, we will learn what can we do better and who we can partner with, and we'll go ahead with continuous work in the realm of cultural diplomacy. There is plans for cookbook by the Ukrainian Women's Association, because we have interest in stories and recipes related to our heritage that can be passed not only within the families, but for the broader audience, with beautiful photos as well. So that's an interesting project we can embark on next. And keep talking about Ukraine, what we are through our poetry, through our translation work, through our historical figures, and demonstrate the global impact for science, for music, for arts, for culture. So this will bring and tie together different parties and different people from different walks of life, so understanding Ukraine more and more.
What advice would you give to someone trying to preserve their Ukrainian identity while adapting to a new country?
I've gone through this journey myself, and it's a matter of keep going, keep doing what you're doing, because anything you do, including reading a book daily to your children, or singing songs, listening to music, remaining attached to Ukraine is important. And definitely finding your community or building your community. I know it can be a scary experience, because not everyone can be your friend or like-minded person, but through going, you become stronger, and you achieve your outcome. You find your place in a friendly environment, Australia and New Zealand, and build your network, build your place, build your people, and you have something to share. Just remember, you have something inside of you, and people are waiting to hear your knowledge, knowing about you. So speak clearly, have your own voice. And also, this voice is important in advocacy work, in demonstrations on the streets, writing to your local government members, or state government members, to the federal government members, and asking to support Ukraine, stand with Ukraine in a fight for democracy, global democracy, in this war that Ukraine is now fighting the fourth year with Russian aggression.
Here in Dunedin, we often reflect on what it means to be Ukrainian far from home. Do you remember a moment in your life when you felt especially proud of your roots?
It's actually an interesting question because, again, it relates to back to the time when I first arrived to Australia from New Zealand, and we were walking on the streets and speaking Ukrainian language, and someone stopped me. Initially, it was English-speaking person, was some Australian family, saying, "Hey, what language do you speak? I think you speak in Polish." And I said, "No, I'm speaking Ukrainian." I said, "Yeah, that's right. I was very close." And they were friendly, excited. They didn't. And I thought, wow, that's enough of Ukrainian voice in Australia that people on the street can actually understand the language or pick up. It's not a Russian language. It was Ukrainian language. And I think it might be minor for someone. It's like, oh, your language is recognized. Yeah, my language is recognized, and I'm very happy because it was 2013. For me, it was something special. I felt proud of my predecessors in Australia who actually built a place and made Ukrainian voice heard.
Thank you for tuning in to Borscht Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz. This is your host Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.